Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called The Remission of Sins." Peter was speaking in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The word remission in Strong's is number 859. It comes from another word meaning freedom, figuratively a pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty, or remission. The whole house of Israel was guilty of letting the devil use them to crucify their own Messiah and needed more than just forgiveness. Peter offered those seeking a clear conscience the remission of sins. Many had been to John the Baptist, confessing their sins in the Jordan. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, for Jews to repent deeply in time for Jesus' first coming. But they did not come to repentance. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." For more information about the narrow and Broadway, please read chapter 6, Three Roads, Which One, in section 1 on Ways That Seem Right in the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hedgecock. You will not come to repentance without some help. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. The pressure on the narrow way causes anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life to manifest. Something deeply hidden will be revealed, and you will be given more grace and truth if you embrace the conviction and repent. Your sins do not manifest all at once, but you are responsible for establishing the Lordship of Christ in all areas over a period of time. When the bad fruit manifests, you cannot claim ignorance anymore. There is one of three roads you can be on. Number one, an evil road of doing what you want when you want. Number two, the narrow way. And number three, the broad way. Only the narrow way leads to life. If the same sins are manifesting in your life again and again, under a low level of pressure, you are not on the narrow way, but using your mind to come to the truth. Time is running out. Jesus taught in Matthew 7, and verse 21, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, And Peter answered them, Repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves, instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You might have changed direction briefly at salvation by humbling yourself and confessing your sin, but then slipped back slowly to being Lord of your life through a confidence in the flesh. Now that you are born again, you must accept the will of God completely for your life, or you are rejecting it. There is no third option. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just because you're born again and confess your sin does not mean you are following Christ today. You can start in the Spirit and finish in the flesh. Bad fruit appearing means you did not choose righteousness in all areas. You get the remission or deliverance from sin by becoming servants of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you keep yielding to the Spirit to do what he says consistently, you will produce the fruit of the Spirit in complicated situations. There is no condemnation for those abiding in Christ under pressure, obeying the dictates of the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 1. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Eternal life is not just living forever, but a gift that every born-again child of God has to get to know God and communicate with the Lord by grace through faith. John 17:3. It is your lifeline so that you can function effectively with Jesus as Lord of your life by the Spirit. Those not holding on to eternal life firmly are holding on to something else. Resist the temptation to do anything from your carnal nature. Conviction is truth, warning you that your flesh is trying to take control. You'll come out of Christ if you ignore conviction, give in to doubts, and through the lust of the flesh serve sin again. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You can be sure Christ is in you by talking to him frequently through the gift of eternal life, by acknowledging God in all your ways. You have the same faith as Christ, and he will be formed in you because that's what he did. At salvation, you saw the light for the first time and came off the road heading for destruction through being Lord of your own life. This should have convinced you to make Jesus Lord now. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do not be deceived. Cheap Christianity will be here right up to the end when Jesus appears. Those who only hear God in one or two areas are hypocrites, departing from the truth in their personal lives. Those with a confidence in the flesh resist conviction when the pressure increases, because the flesh cannot submit to God. Romans 8:8. Those fighting conviction ignore the small mistakes and make a habit of hardening their heart to the truth as things get worse. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, and reading verse 15. An account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they also do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Those wrestling with the scriptures, when convicted, are not spiritual. They leave out the most important statements, like denying self and taking up your cross daily. You cannot grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord without following Christ consistently. We read in Luke 24, verses 45 to 47. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, I'm reading verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You should have gained some keys to the kingdom following Christ, even if you do not obey perfectly by grace. These are keys that Jesus used to overcome the cross by hearing and obeying. The devil has no new tricks, but he can appeal to the flesh through the knowledge of good and evil and the wisdom of the world. Steadfastly resist the devil by asking the Lord what he wants you to do in all areas. It might be that you start on a way that seems right, but then realize when you try to acknowledge the Lord, he does not answer immediately. And then repent before it's too late. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14, verses 12 to 15. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Those with a confidence in the flesh are heading for destruction now, because they are like the world and cannot hear God or come to the truth. Those carnally minded in the body of Christ that listen to conspiracy theories and accept everything they are taught are in danger. Also, without correction, your life will slip back to a comfortable religious lifestyle, just like the Jews using their minds to come to the truth. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can subvert other Christians receiving grace to hear, trust, and obey the truth, and repent deeply by telling them God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. God has provided the best education system, the best person over you in the Lord and the perfect environment to learn. You will avoid a lot of unnecessary pressure if you submit under authority, learn to hear, trust and obey like a little child. If you think you can easily study without pressure and conviction, you are high-minded. Romans 12 verse 3. God's ways are higher than man's ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. The high-minded choose ignorance by trying to come to the truth without studying areas where they are being convicted first. God gave you faith and the Holy Spirit to repent and do his perfect will. Those with the confidence of the flesh are lazy, resisting conviction and correction, and do not study the word of truth. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have all we receive, grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The word fullness in Strong's is number 4138. It comes from another word meaning repletion or completion. That is, subjectively, what fills as content, supplement, a great multitude. Objectively, what is filled, a container, a period, which is put in to fill up. Something that gets filled up, fulfilling or full. Jesus is Lord. And he has been ruling by the Spirit for the last 2,000 years. For those who want to hear, trust and obey. Even the sinner gets some grace to repent when they curse God and do not die immediately. Convicted of sin at salvation. You should have experienced the repletion of God. At the time you were woken up through conviction because you were serving the devil, letting him steal your eternal inheritance for the sake of earthly gain and heading for hell. The same will happen again if you do not repent deeply. If you are a child of God, you can experience his fullness now. Under the old covenant, those who humbled themselves when convicted, got more grace to repent. Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? Verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those not working out their salvation refer to the early repletion as the honeymoon period. Because they've used the grace as an occasion of the flesh and become spiritually dry. The cross is a demonstration of what Christ did by faith, asking God everything. If asking God consistently in all areas offends you, then you are becoming religious and looking for a shortcut to holiness. By becoming like a little child with God's grace, you can enter the kingdom of heaven now. Those who respond to conviction by faith and repent never run out of grace. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You are forgiven when you confess your sins, but will not experience deliverance by grace through faith, or the remission of sins without deep repentance. The Jews had the knowledge of the scriptures and should have, through the law, got a steady supply of grace through repentance, ready for his appearing. But they were blind. On a way that seemed right, the Jews could not recognize Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And they were heading for destruction by using their minds to come to the truth. Those born again, humbling themselves, that receive him as Lord, not just Savior, get authority, forgiveness, grace, and mercy to become sons of God, led and controlled by the Spirit. Conviction is a promise of more grace for every sinner that repents deeply to stay completely free from sin through obedience to the Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is Romans chapter 13, I'm reading verse 11. And that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus is now coming for his bride that has made herself ready, but not for the lazy, trusting in the finished work of Christ. Revelation 19 and verse 7. The church in Rome were running out of time and had to wake up to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34. They were naked without the armor of light and had not put on Christ in complicated situations. Putting on the armor of light is arming yourself with lessons through conviction and getting revelation you need to deliver or save yourself from sin. 2 Timothy 2 verses 25 to 26. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation, or you will become dishonest, demanding, strive, be envious, critical, unforgiving, and judgmental. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 12 on practical applications, on page 182, Joseph Edgecott writes, the belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature of the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. Stop sin reigning by yielding to the Spirit like Christ did and complete the work that the Father gave you to do. Those spiritually lazy do not learn and make the same mistakes twice. By thinking in complicated situations, you will give the flesh an opportunity. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you're born again. But that does not mean you're in the Spirit or in Christ. Before receiving the Holy Spirit, you only had one nature. Now that you have two natures, you have to choose righteousness by yielding to the Spirit. Peter was speaking in Acts chapter 2, verses 39 to 41. This is Acts chapter 2. I'm reading verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. All the promises of God are designed for those abiding in Christ. They do not work for those yielding to the flesh. Peter did not speak to 3,000 people directly all at once. The crowd saw those receiving the remission of sin through deep repentance as they cried out to God, seeking a clear conscience. You also can be hot, cold, or lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16, this is Matthew's gospel, chapter 20, I'm reading verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. We are invited to grow spiritually through conviction. At the cross, Jews with a confidence in the flesh, mocking Jesus, saying, why does he not save himself now if he be the Christ, had to repent deeply. Luke 22 and verse 35. Those that passed by without even looking at Jesus, crucified outside the city, were like the cold-hearted Jesus described in the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, 31 to 32. Those stirred up in front of Pontius Pilate to shout, crucify, in Mark 15, 13 to 14. So that a convicted criminal called Barabbas was set free in the place of Jesus, were in the crowds and had to repent. Accept your calling to be holy now, or be last, like those at the end, resisting conviction. Everyone is running out of time to repent deeply. David wrote in Psalms 103, verses 10 to 14. This is in the Psalms 103. I'm reading verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13. Like as a father pities his children, so that the Lord pities them that fear him. Verse 14. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Continue in his goodness by repenting of what he shows you as the pressure increases and circumstances change. Romans 11, 22. Joseph Hitchcock in his books recommended using a notebook and inserting a fresh page for each new area identified for repentance. Your transgressions are removed as you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, and repent deeply. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading the book of Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Those today in the body of Christ who function from the wrong tree with the knowledge of good and evil have rejected Christ. Never forget what you have done in your past. Now the humble, by confessing their sins and seeking a clear conscience, can repent deeply with the help of the Holy Spirit. Those who have repented of thinking maintain a good attitude to God by earnestly heeding what they have received through conviction. In the Living Bible, Acts chapter 2, verse 40 says, "Then Peter preached a long sermon telling about Jesus and strongly urging all his listeners to save themselves from the evils of their nation." Paul also wrote several long letters with the purpose of deep repentance in the churches. The cross of Christ proved how corrupt the Jews had become, using their minds. The church started with 3,000 educated Jews convicted by the Holy Spirit of killing the Christ personally in their hearts. The new converts had betrayed Jesus like Judas Iscariot for the sake of their own interests, personal beliefs, and a comfortable religious lifestyle. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Verse 8. "For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Verse 9. "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone?" Verse 10. "Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Verse 11. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Those genuinely following Christ receive what they need, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness first. Matthew 6 and verse 33. If you're always questioning God's choices, you are not living by faith. Those following the devil and walking in darkness get what they think they need in this life without asking God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." You show the Lord's death after being born again by denying yourself consistently and taking up your cross daily. If you're not using opportunity to repent deeply on the narrow way, when convicted, you are becoming like Judas Iscariot. You may be calling Jesus Lord, but your heart is far from him, and you will become a hypocrite. Matthew 15 and verse 8. God loves you, but those on the broad way are deceiving themselves and becoming guilty of the body and blood of Christ. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 to 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Verse 29, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Verse 31, "For if you would judge yourselves, you would not be judged." Verse 32, "But when you are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Those who replace the cup of Christ with just worldly wisdom are spiritually asleep. Many have become sick, according to Paul, because they were not asking the Lord what to do in complicated situations. You should be, number one, examining yourselves regularly to see if you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Number two, discerning the Lord's body, especially the people that are a great source of conviction and correction, bringing strong messages. Without some chastening, you will be judged with the rest of the world at the great white throne. The Lord's body today is not just a small piece of bread you swallow, but represents the elect on the narrow way that you need to be reverently connected with. Paul was looking like a reprobate on the narrow way, but after his first letter hurt their feelings, he rejoiced when the Corinthians came to repentance and godly sorrow manifested. 2 Corinthians 7, 8-10. Submit to someone like Paul and they will feed you with godly wisdom through conviction and correction. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word conformed in Strong's is number 4964. It comes from another word and a derivative of a word meaning to fashion alike. That is to conform to the same pattern figuratively. To conform to or fashion oneself according to something. In the Living Bible, Romans 12 verses 1 to 2 says, and so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. Following Christ, you will pass through many experiences, but rejoice when you see the result spiritually through faith and obedience. You will experience God's grace and mercy to help you repent deeply if needed. You'll be convicted of thinking when you should have been listening. Those concerned about what others think in this world do not find life. On the narrow way, you will receive the wisdom of God you need by just asking if you believe. James 1, 5-8. Those with doubts about asking God for wisdom are letting the devil steal opportunities for glory and destroy their own eternal inheritance. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. The church offering a shallow relationship with God for those still serving two masters in this world are being trodden under foot. Jesus was salt to those Jews seeking a comfortable, religious, Jewish lifestyle. And this is why they killed him. God gave the nation of Israel a holy calling to save the world from corruption, but they messed it up. The responsibility to be salt now rests on those born again by the Spirit with a new nature inside of them in these last days. Jesus said to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. For more information about doing your first works, review the introduction to Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Where prayer fails, deep repentance works every time. You can be made salty again like Paul the Apostle through deep repentance and doing your first works over. Paul became a faithful steward of the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Because he was yoked to Christ. Matthew 11, 29 to 30. He reminded the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 and 9, and told Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he was the chief of sinners. Your life in Christ should be a testimony to the grace of God too. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it, but the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Did you ignore Jesus' instruction about finding and making every effort to get on the narrow way? If so, why? There are consequences for listening to your flesh more than God. Those with doubts about the narrow way depressurize the situation to meet their own needs instead. They believe lies for the sake of their flesh that you must serve two masters. The pressure on the narrow way is designed by God to expose areas that need repentance in everyone. Peter wrote to the new converts scattered in the persecution. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, I'm reading to verse 16. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, and in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Those accepting a holy calling by deep repentance with grace and truth win back their souls that have been contaminated by the devil. God can put you on the fastest route now, ending with a spiritual inheritance in heaven, if you deny yourself consistently and take up your cross daily. The glory that came after the cross was hard for the Old Testament prophets to comprehend, because it involved the killing of the Messiah. But the mystery was the deep repentance made possible through the Holy Spirit. The elect of God now have a lifestyle of asking God. The new converts had to hear, trust, and obey, or become like those nations around them. Peter told them to control their thinking by girding up the loins of their mind to make sure they did not start thinking again about their temporal, carnal lives. Those Jews giving the good confession in Jerusalem, seeking a clear conscience with God, were given a lively hope after crucifying their own Messiah because they repented deeply. They also had an incorruptible inheritance coming, as they had not defiled themselves through thinking. They chose instead to express their love to God in complicated situations by obeying the Spirit under pressure. No one gets an incorruptible inheritance using their minds to come to the truth. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Those Jews that had not seen Jesus personally did see his provision in manifold temptations and had a deep love for him as a result. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 15. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If Jesus is your first love, then seek specific commands from Jesus. You will get the power to keep and obey them perfectly by faith and sow love back into God. You'll also develop a love relationship with him through keeping his commands. John 14, 21 to 23. John the Baptist was speaking in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. By trusting God with all your heart in complicated situations, you can have a sure and blessed hope of the resurrection. You will have a confidence based on what God did last time under even more pressure. By acknowledging God in all your ways with his power, God is no respecter of persons. You become ignorant again by ignoring conviction for the sake of your carnal desires and the appetites of the flesh. Expect a baptism of fire if you're behind or running out of time. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Those abiding in Christ are his workmanship, and become priests of God. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. They help others and do not waste time doing any dead works. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, explain what the remission of sins means in your own words. Number two, who is responsible for you getting more grace in your life today? How and why? Number three, what did God use to help you find the entrance to the narrow way the first time? And if you did not get on the narrow way at that time, why not? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out. Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today, I have been speaking to you about the remission of sins. He paid the price on the cross. So everything that is not Christ-like can be removed by confession and deep repentance. Those who believe, find the narrow way and let him do the work in their lives through conviction and correction. Those trying to come to truth with their minds have rejected Christ and what he has done for them, and they will be condemned with the world. Today, I hope this message has touched your heart and you begin to work on those things that God has said to you through this message. I pray that, Father, that you will do the work through that conviction you brought to them, as they believe by faith that they will be given the grace and truth to repent deeply and be children of God, sons of God, led and controlled by the Spirit from now on, in Jesus' precious name. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. God bless you, and thank you for listening.